I guess we're one of those parishes that are blessed with growth in the parish. If you look at where we are, the North Valley of Phoenix, there's an explosion of new houses by Dove Valley, and even here in Anthem by by the mail post office. But what are we doing to prepare for our growth? You see, in our gospel today, we hear of the virgins who were preparing for the bridegroom. Five were wise, five were not wise, not to prepare. I would like to give to you a pastoral report of what is happening in our parish and how are we preparing. What have we done and how are we preparing to address the growth of our parish? On the Eucharistic celebration, we have a daily Mass from Monday to Saturday. Before it was only Monday to Friday. We added this year a Saturday Mass at 7:30. In addition, we added another Mass at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So we added two Masses for the weekdays. On Sundays, on the weekends, we still have the 5 o'clock Mass on Saturday, 8 o'clock, 9:30 at Good Shepherd, 11 o'clock here. For the snowbirds, we added this year a 4 o'clock Mass in the afternoon of Saturday. So this afternoon, we still have the 4 o'clock Mass. Why? Because we're growing. We're growing. On the Sacrament of Reconciliation, we have confessions daily from Monday to Saturday. Weekdays from 7 to 7:30 in the morning. So from Monday to Friday, there is confession. And then on Saturday, it's from 4 to 5. So there is so much, opportunity for everyone to go to confession. And we have the Lenten and Advent recollections and confessions. On the Sacrament of Anointing, which is the sacrament for the sick, this last fiscal year, we have celebrated 362 anointing of the sick. And for your information, on First Fridays, we have healing masses on First Friday, and it's growing in attendance. So those of you who want to avail of the sacrament of healing also, of anointing, you can come on First Friday and be with the community and receive also, aside from the Eucharist, the sacrament of anointing. On the sacramental preparations and administration, for the first communion or first reconciliation, last year we had 62. First communion, we had 72 children. And confirmation, we had 83 who was confirmed. On the catechesis program, for both in high school and elementary, last fiscal year for the high school, we had 43. On junior high, we had 33. For the elementary, we had 240 children. This year, it's even bigger because we have transferred it to Sunday. So we have Wednesdays and Sundays. In fact, Renee is already complaining because we need more rooms for our catechesis program. Preschool, last year, we had 29. Number of communion calls for the sick and the homebound, those who cannot come here, whom our pastoral care ministers visit every week. Last year, we did 2,650 communion calls out of our 30 pastoral care ministers. And I'm sure that Nancy Borlo will agree that we need more pastoral care ministers. There's so much demand, and if we have more, I'm sure this will still go up. And we only have 10 assisted homes, aside from the many individual homes that our pastoral care ministers are visiting. 7, we have, at least, this is my belief, that one of the best apostolate for a priest is the apostolate of presence. And I've been trying to do that in my own capacity. Especially now that we have 2 priests in our parish, we can be more present in the ministries, in the programs, and activities of the parish. As regards to our small Christian communities, we have finished Prex Retreat for 5 communities: the communities of Ephesus, the communities of Jerusalem, Rome. Yesterday, we just finished the community of Galatia and Thessalonica. And out of this, we have at least 15 small Christian communities. And as you know, we have opened our Adoration Chapel. And we've been wanting, and we've always, you know, campaigned for more adorers. Aside from our daily masses that we have, there is another opportunity to be with Jesus through our Adoration Chapel. As of now, it's open from Monday to Friday from 6 to 10 in the evening. But by January, we want to expand it from Sunday evening up to 24 hours up to Friday evening. And we will close it on the weekends because of the activities in this building. Last year, I've told you that we have hired an architectural firm that is doing a new master plan of the parish. This year, I'm happy to announce to you that we have finished that master plan. In fact, this coming Friday, November 17 at 11 o'clock a.m., I will be going to the diocese to present this master plan to the commission, a building commission of the diocese. So we're moving forward and we're preparing for our growth. On the administrative side, there are new offices. One, now we have a permanent parochial vicar with Father Noel on board, and that is an addition. Second, we have a new discipleship coordinator in the person of Brian. Brian, can you come out? So Brian is our discipleship and stewardship coordinator. Brothers and sisters, St. Rose and Good Shepherd Mission are blessed with the growth of its community, of its parish. As your pastor, I am happy to report that as a parish, we have responded to this growth, per longum et per latum, which means in height and in depth. How? Physically, spiritually, pastorally, administratively, and in God's grace and time, prepare physical structures. My sincerest gratitude to all your help and support and for allowing us to minister to our growing parish. Now I give you Brian and Kelly to present to you a witnessing of how they're doing their stewardship.
Hello, our fellow parishioners. I'm actually speaking to you today as a parishioner and not as the discipleship coordinator. Father Bing asked Kelly and I to speak this weekend about our experiences with stewardship of giving and tithing. You know, it's funny how the Lord uses the most unlikely people to carry forward his message. We certainly feel that way today. We do tithe and we do participate in the parish ministry, but we feel that others do so much more. So before we get going, let me just answer a couple quick questions that I know are at the top of your mind. First off, no, There's no way you could have avoided us. We're speaking at all the masses. But number two, no, this won't be long.
Brian and I have been parishioners of St. Rose since moving to Anthem in 2013. We recently celebrated our 30th wedding anniversary. We have three grown children and one grandchild. We're both cradle Catholics. We both attended Catholic school. Both our parents were good Catholics who went to church every Sunday, prayed, and supported the church. But somehow we both felt that we were poorly catechized. We felt that our Sunday obligation was all that was required to be a good Catholic. We didn't serve in ministry, and we didn't tithe. We left that to others.
Well, we both had careers that we were building while trying to start a family, and it didn't really leave much time for God or church other than our one-hour Sunday obligation, and that really was how we looked at it. Looking back, we both realized that God was continually calling us, asking us for more, but for the most part, we were able to ignore him. It wasn't that there wasn't time. It's just that we were putting our worldly concerns first. This really changed for us when we moved to Arizona. For me, it was sitting in a mandatory sacrament class for one of my kids when the pastor said something to the effect of, "If you're only doing this to get your holy card stamped, please leave. You're doing a disservice to your children and to the church." This really convicted me in my heart.
For me, it was a very eager ex-Catholic, now Baptist, who wanted to save me from the evils of the Catholic Church. I realized I didn't know my faith as much as I thought I did. Together, these moments mark the start of our growth into embracing our faith and its call to discipleship. We joined Bible studies and started to pray together. We looked for ways to participate in parish ministry, teaching RE, teen ministry, Eucharistic ministers and sacristans, and helped with one of our favorites, working the beer truck at Oktoberfest. Am I right? As we grew in the understanding and love of our faith, Mass was no longer an obligation. It was a celebration. Serving in ministry gave us the same blessing. It was like giving a gift at Christmas. We got back more than we gave. We came to have a greater faith and understanding of all the church's teachings, including those on stewardship. We came to learn that believing that tithing was how we showed gratitude to God for our gifts and how we showed charity and love with the less fortunate. But understanding this concept and practicing it was not the same thing. Our problem was, how do we come up with 10% of our income that we're already spending?
So we knew we had to be intentional, or it wasn't going to happen. We sat down together, and we budgeted our spending. On paper, quite honestly, it looked quite daunting. We weren't able to start at 10% right off the bat, but in 2 to 3 years, we were able to get to that level. And we've maintained that level since. We tithe the minimum of 10% of our salaries, and we use tools like online giving to make sure that we don't forget and fall behind. Since we've been tithing, we've never had a problem paying any of our bills, and we've been blessed with abundance to cover luxuries like vacations, put 3 kids through university and college, and we've been able to step up and give for immediate needs like disaster relief as they've occurred. This doesn't mean that we don't have challenges and we don't have to be prudent with our money, but it does mean that we're not in it on our own, and to be honest with you, those challenges seldom seem significant. We taught our kids this too. They tithed on their allowances when they were young. That was a very interesting first discussion. They tithed on their high school and college jobs, and we encouraged them to continue this practice as they've been out on their own. Our oldest, the daughter and her husband, were recently looking to buy their first home, and we were very happy to see that tithing was part of their budgeting and planning process. All of that is great, but I think the most surprising blessing is the sense of peace and contentment that we've experienced through this journey. Putting our trust and our gifts in God's hands for his will is incredibly liberating. To wrap things up, like my pastor 15 years ago, I'm going to risk some straight talk. We are all being called to be disciples. Disciples are grateful. Disciples share their gifts. They pray, they volunteer their time, and they tithe. Please listen for his call and answer it. Be free in his love. You won't be sorry. Kelly and I can attest to the fact that God's generosity will not be outdone. We've never regretted a minute or a dollar we've given in his service, and neither will you.
Thank you for listening to our story, and God bless.